Parsha Truma, which is the parsha which deals with the donations that were given, and then the explicit command to build the Mishkan, begins with the pasuk Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and let them take from me a portion." That's where the name Truma comes from, a portion, the name of the parsha. "From every man whose heart motivates him, you shall take my portion. This is the portion you shall take from them, gold, silver, and copper, etc." So we note here, right off, when we take a look at these psukim, the phrase, this is Neruzion source 3, "take for me an offering," implies that the offering was to be a compulsory tax collected from all Jews, regardless whether they consented to it of their volition or not. "Take from me" means that there is an obligation to take. Yet the end of the verse suggests the opposite, that the contribution should be accepted only from the man whose heart impels him to give. Is the Torah here referring to an obligatory tax or a voluntary contribution? How do we understand? It seems to be a contradiction within the pasuk. "Let them take from me," which seems to be obligatory, and "all whose heart motivates him" seems to be voluntary. So Rashi tells us, based on the Medrit, on the Gemara, in source number 4, it observes that the word truma, portion, appears 3 times in this passage, which alludes to 3 different types of offering truma, 2 of which were mandatory, and 1 of which was voluntary. The first was the mandatory beka of silver given by each person for the making of the silver sockets, which were the foundations of the tabernacle, the adanim. The second, an identical amount served for the purchase of the communal sacrifices. And the third was used for the construction of the tabernacle itself. This contribution was left to each person's generosity. The first two offerings, which remained equal for both rich and poor alike, represented the material and spiritual foundations of the nation's existence, and then you were able to add as you desired. Now this then raises some more questions. So if this is true, that we have here both obligatory as well as offerings of the heart, then as the Klayokar notes in Source 6, the positioning is a little bit interesting. Because when it says, "Let them take from me a portion, from every man whose heart motivates him, you shall take my portion," those first two portions are the obligatory portion. The third portion, "This is the portion you shall take from them," the gold, silver, is in the Divut HaLev. So why is it that the man whose heart motivates him for you, why is that stuck between the two obligatory offerings? That should be by the third one. And this is the portion for those whose heart motivates them, gold, silver, etc. Why is it by the obligatory offerings, the obligatory givings, that you have those whose heart motivates them? That's one question we have on this, which is the Klayakar's question. Further, the Maharal's question in source number 7, why are we calling that which is obligatory a truma? A truma seems to be, the meaning is to uplift, the hafrasha, making a separation. Separation implies that I have a lot and I'm separating some for Hashem. In the obligatory ones, it's not, if you didn't even own anything, this is all you had to give it. Separation means that I have a lot and I'm choosing. These two, even a poor person, have to sell things in order to give this. So it's not really a separation, it's more of a donation. What's the idea of a truma being a hafrasha, a separation? What if there's nothing else to separate? What's the idea of truma by these korbanos? Further, the Drash David in Source 5, why is it that we have 3 separate offerings? Why can't it just be give X amount and then we'll divide it up? Some will go for the Mishkan, some for the Adonim, some for the Korbanos. Why was it 3 separate donations that were given? And finally, I understand if we're going to have an obligatory donation that it should be for the Korbanos, because that indeed was something that was communal for everybody. But why was it that the other obligatory offering, the other half a shekel that had to be given, was given for the adonim, for the socket? Let them be given for something a little bit more holy. I don't know, the aro, something menorah, something that everyone was connected to. The adonim, the socket, that seems to be a little bit base, with pun intended. So, to look at as our point of departure of the two approaches of Mirtz Hashem that we're going to take today, the very powerful insight that the Be'er Yosef brings from a lot of the Svarim. And that is source number 8, Rav Yosef Salant, the pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Ata ben Adam, hagena beit Yisrael et habayit v'ichlamu mavenotehen. And the commentators explain, tell Beit Yisrael, tell the house of Israel, heim ha'heim habayit. They are the house. The house is dependent on them. And he goes on to explain that there is a parallel between the way God created the world, between the Mishkan, between the Torah, and between every individual. And all should be parallel within each other because they all reflect each other. And indeed, if you look through the Malbim, he goes through, as well as other Mefarshim, how every part of the Mishkan corresponds to a different part of the body. We are. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hemos. Here we are, Navi says, we are a miniature Beis HaMikdash. We are a miniature world. We contain within ourselves a miniature, the entire world. We contain within ourselves the entire Mishkan. We are, Hainu Hach, we are all of the above. That is the depth of the human condition. And as Rabbeinu Bachaya points out in source number 9, he says, from the Pasuk in our Parsha, Vasuli Mikdash, until the Pasuk in Parsha, Pekudei Kein Asa, he notes that there are 248 times the word Asa, Vasu, and they should make, is made, corresponding to 248 positive mitzvahs in the Torah, corresponding to 248 limbs in a person's body, because they're all one. And therefore, my friends, when we take a look at trying to understand all of these questions, what was this truma about? What was this, these three different type of offerings about? Why are they called a truma? Why were they three offerings? Why is a nedivah slave, the giving of the heart, found among the obligatory offerings? In order to understand all of these questions, we have to understand what we're dealing with here. We're not just dealing with a building. We're dealing with ourselves. We're dealing with ourselves paralleling this building, which is paralleling the world, which is paralleling the Torah, which is all about the divine vision of the perfected world. With this in mind, I'd like to try to take a look at answering these questions from two vantage points. The first vantage point being kivyachol from Hashem looking down, his vision, and the second vantage point from us, kivyachol looking up from our vantage point. The Drash David points out that there are three different sources, and this is in source 10a, for the building of the Mishkan. The first, which is very well known, is after the sin of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, Hashem said, you sin with gold, you can atone for yourself with gold, and hence I'm commanding you to build the tabernacle. On this medrash, it seems the tabernacle was a response to the sin of the golden calf. Then, 10a by the arrow, the Tana de Beliahu, another medrash says, Kevan shekiblu Yisrael malchut shamayi besimcha v'amru, when Klal Yisrael rejoiced and said, whatever Hashem tells us, Das Avinishma, Hashem said immediately to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, Vikhuli Truma Vasuli Mikdash. It would seem that as a result of accepting the Torah, Hashem wanted a Beit HaMikdash. And yet, my friends, there's a third source, and that's in 10b. And that is that there were seven things that are the foundation of the world that were Kodem Lebriyasa, that were created even before the world was created. And one of those things was the Beit HaMikdash. Kisei Kavon Maru Merishon Mekom Mikdashenu. So it seemed that Hashem wanted the Beit HaMikdash that preceded the world. So what is the Beis HaMikdash? Is it a response to the Egel Zahav, the golden calf? It's a response to our relationship with Hashem, Nasav Nishma, Mabon Har Sinai? Or is this what Hashem envisioned already from the creation of the world? So he notes that there are three aspects of what the Beis HaMikdash was about. Aspect number 1 in source number 11, Habachina Ha'achat, Shamikdashi Mekom Ha'chibur Va'kesher Ben Ha'olam Ha'tachton Lo'lamos Al-Yonim. The one function of the Beis HaMikdash was a place of connection. It connected the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And this is what preceded creation. God understood that there needed to be a place where the physical was going to be able to be elevated to the spiritual. And this was a place that even the goyim, even the nations, are able to come to this place and be able to have a relationship with Hashem. That's one aspect. Aspect number 2 in source 12, Ubechina Nosefet Shaitava Mishkan U'Mikdash, this was a special revelation of godliness where Hashem would speak to the Jewish people or to individuals through the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash. And this was the place where people felt every time they came up to Aliyah LaRegel, they felt the intensity of Hashem's presence. This place of the Beis HaMikdash was as a result of Mamet Har Sinai, that we desired a relationship with Hashem, we wanted to speak to Hashem. Hashem says, build for me a place where I can be in constant communication with you. And then there's a third aspect. This ability of constant communication, albeit there was going to be one intense place of this communication, but Hashem's vision was going to be that He would be able to relate to all of us as a mini Mishkan, and it wasn't going to need to be an exclusive place. There was going to be a place with intensity, but it wasn't going to be exclusive. After the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says, you've now lost this place of exclusivity, and that this place of inclusivity, and now it's going to be a place of exclusivity where only certain people are going to be able to hear Hashem speak through the Mishkan. So therefore, we have in 14, Nimsasha Shalosh Bechinot Hayu B'Mikdash, the three aspects of the Beis HaMikdash, HaRishonaya Chibur Ben Shemayim La'aretz, the connection between heaven and earth, which happened already before the world was created. Hashniya Giluya Kirva Vayashaychu Be'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ben Am Yisrael, the connection between Hashem and Am Yisrael. And this was because of Har Sinai. And the third, it would be a specific communication, which was Nifstam Sitzah Hashrat Hashchina Kivyochul Makom Echad, as if the Divine Presence was relegated to one place. With this we can appreciate how all three offerings relate to these three aspects of what the Beis HaMikdash was about. The aspect of the Adonim, and the Adonim being the sockets, that which was the Mishkan was based on, that relates to the Evan Ashtia, the way Hashem envisioned the cornerstone of the world. The Truma to that was indeed reminding ourselves of the initial vision Hashem had. Then, the next Truma was of the Korbanos HaTzibur. This was where Hashem would connect with every person via the Beis HaMikdash. And only the third donation, which was a donation now to build the different parts of the Mishkan, that was relegating Hashem to a specific place, that came from the donations that people made, and that donation was not an obligatory donation, depending on how you felt you remove yourself from Hashem at the Chet HaEgel, and how you wanted to do tshuva, that's indeed how and how much you gave to Hashem for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the first of the three taxes was for the Adonim, because the Adonim is where we all have an equal share of the basic part of the base of the Mishkan. This is an equal share where we all are connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Adonim being the foundation, says Rav Belsky. Similarly, every Jew has an equal share of the foundation of Klal Yisrael itself, an indispensable part to play in our nation's destiny. We all said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Therefore, we all have this ability to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on some level and feel that closeness to Hashem. Therefore, it was the Adonim, the foundation, that was the compulsory giving, the Korbanot Tzibur, the gifts of the group. Those were what you had to give. This is our level of connection to Hashem. And the third came from what was above and beyond. Now, with this in mind, we explain why there are three different donations. Each donation underscored a different relationship between ourselves and Hashem. However, this doesn't explain yet why the Nedivus Lev, the generosity of the heart, is found mamish in the middle of the two obligatories given. It should be, you have to take for the Adonim, you have to take for the Korbanot Tzibur, the communal offerings, and then those who are Midanim, Lipo, those who desire can give the gold, the silver, etc. So here we get to a very fascinating insight of the Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedland Zatzal, in his Sefer Ad Shemot. And he says, we find in Source 18 that there are two types of mitzvos. There are mitzvos that are obligatory mitzvos, and then there are mitzvos that are sheinan chova, that are not obligatory. So, for example, nazir, right, to become a Nazirite, that's not obligatory. If you want it, you can. Mezuzah, if you don't want to live in a house, you want to live in a tent your whole life, you don't have to build, you know, have a house. You don't need a mezuzah. If you don't want to ever eat bread, you don't have to bench, right? There's certain things that if you do it, you're obligated then in this mitzvah. And he notes that Chazal tell us, and this is very fascinating what he's about to teach us in 19, that Chazal say, Gadol mitzuvavol sevi mishenu mitzuvavol say, greater is the what? Greater is the reward for one who is commanded to do than one who is not commanded to do. And the Tosfos gives the reason, to hainu taima, demisha mitzuvavol sa'adif, why is the one who's commanded to do on a higher level preferable? Lefisha do'egu mitzayer yoter, if I'm not obligated to do, so I have this feeling, okay, either I'll do it or I won't do it. Right? Like a woman in sitting in the sukkah. Either I'll sit in the sukkah or I won't sit in the sukkah. But I don't feel pressure. I have to sit in the sukkah and I have to get down there and I have to eat. I don't feel that pressure. But there are certain mitzvos that you do feel pressure. I have to eat that matzah. I have to eat it a certain amount of time. I have to eat the, you know, the most mahodr matzah. There's a certain tension. That tension is what creates the higher level of reward. The tension is my ability to want to do it the best way possible, and I know there's a certain expectation that Hashem expects from me, and I want to be able to meet that expectation. Hadaika, continuing in 19, Lukiyuma mitzvos, hiba mitocha yirat shamayim sheish vada. This is a neurosis, God forbid. This is yirat shamayim. Hashem, I want to do it in the best way possible. I want to eat that matzah in the amount of time I need to. Adam sheino doeg umitzayir lukeim et mitzvah. Umnam umikayim et mitzvah yesh luschar mitzvah. If a person isn't really concerned, you know, I'll eat it, I won't eat it, I'll have kapana, I won't eat it, I don't have kapana. They're very lackadaisical about it. So this person doesn't have the same level of the Yirat Shamayim of a mitzvah v'olse. And he goes on to say in 20 that Hagon Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, the worry, am I going to do it right? How am I going to get it done? I want to get it done the best way. To the extent that you're intent about doing it and doing it the best way, that's what ups your mitzvah schar. That's what ups your reward. We know. Lufum sara agra, according to your pain, is your reward. So if you're really worried, how am I going to do this? Am I going to do this best way? So the more effort you put in, and the more it's going to involve emotional energy, the more your reward you're going to get. Now listen to what he says here. Ulam, the bracket of 20. Misha ein yirat Hashem bekerav levavo. If a person isn't really concerned, and that yirat Hashem, that uav Hashem isn't found in him, ve'ein doegu mitzter, okima mitzvos pen yavor, and you're really not concerned, well, if I get it done in the right time, if I don't get it right time, nitsa ki gama mitzvos shikayim ota yehem ahutz charab rak begeder ein no mitzvah vose. Even though you're obligated in doing that mitzvah, you're obligated in eating the matzah, but if you're not, like, hyper in a holy way about it, about making sure it's done well with the right kavana, all of that. So of course you're going to get reward, but you're going to get reward from an eno mitzuvosa because you're missing, as if one is not commanded, because you're missing that component. And that's the beauty of being commanded, brings with it a certain amount of healthy tension to want to do it in the best way. And that's what we have to understand. That there are many madregos in 21, b'vchina ha-mitzvah ve'olse. The higher you are, the more intent you are in your yirat shamayim, that brings up the level of mitzvah ve'olse, of being commanded to do. However, he notes in 22, there is an aspect of eino mitzvah ve'olse, I'm not commanded to do, that also has a tremendous benefit and beauty. And that is what you invest into the mitzvah that you're not commanded to do. You're commanded to do minimally, take the arba minim, let's say the four species, and shake them. But if a person is going to do it with joy, and a person is going to do it with all these kavanas, and whatever it is, so I'm not obligated to do it, but the nature, the way it's manifested, not out of of fear. I got to hold it this way. I got to hold it that way. But coming out of tremendous love, and I want to find the most beautiful one, and I want to do it in the most beautiful way, that brings the hiddur mitzvah. I'm not commanded to do that. But this is something that's also beloved to Hashem, because it makes a big difference. He continues in 22. If your attitude toward mitzvahs are, this is what I have to do, and let me just do it the way I have to do it, and or, this is what I have to do, and I'm going to do what I have to do, but I'm going to add the icing on top of the cake. I'm going to add the love with it. I'm going to add the passion with it. The Mishkan, which was the makom of Ashras HaShchina, is the place where Hashem connects to Klal Yisrael. And we need to understand that there are two ways that we can connect with Hashem. Through Yira, through awe, and through Ahava, through love. Harbei Pamim, the arrow 23, Kishadam Ba Lavorot Hashem. Oftentimes we come to do a mitzvah. Oftentimes I don't understand this. Why am I doing this? Step number one is a mitzvah osev, commanded to do, whether I understand it or not, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it the best I can, way I can do it. And that's the Yirat Shemayim, that's the Ova Shem we need to have. Then, based on that, I have to then develop a malav ava. I then have to bring the sheino mitzuvosa, not be commanded, but to be able to add with it the nedivos and the ava, the love, the generosity, lashona ritzona Hashem yitbarach, to do the will of Hashem. And he quotes here at the end of 23. This is so fundamental. Go Rabbi Yisrael Salanter zal amar shashulchan aruch ze haminimum shekol achad tzarich l'kayimo. The shulchan aruch is bare minimum what we have to do. But on this Shulchan Aruch, we have to build our service of God. Not just to be Yotzei Zayin, I'm doing what I have to do. But I want to do it in the best way possible, the beautiful way possible, out of love. And this, my friends, is the understanding of our psukim. Yes, v'kuli truma, you have to take a truma. And yes, you have to give this truma to Hashem. Within the obligatory trumas, what do we have snuck in there? Those who have nedivah slave, generosity of the heart. You have to do it? Yes! We're learning here, and this is about our elevating the experience. It's yes, I have to do mitzvahs, no doubt about it. There is a certain mitzvah v'oseh. But don't fall into the trap that the mitzvah v'oseh, that what Hashem wants from me, this is all I have to do, and that's all He expects. Finish? No! Within that which is obligatory, the mitzvah v'oseh is a she'ino mitzvah v'oseh that Hashem wants from us, and divei leiv, rachmana liba boi, He wants our heart. He wants us in the relationship. So when I took a look at the Mishkan as being the prototype of what Hashem demands from us, He wants a place of connection with us. When He is asking us to do the mitzvahs, it's not just because we have to do it. He also wants part and parcel that have to, if I want to, and I'm going to do it in the most beautiful way possible. The nedivah slave, the generosity and the love, has to be found as well through the bare minimum of the Shulchan Aruch, and to be able to do it in the most beautiful way. I have to have, you know, Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, but I'm going to make my Shabbos table the most beautiful Shabbos table possible. I'll make my challahs in the most creative, you know, decorative ways possible. I'm going to do what I have to do, but I'm going to add my sense and my touch of love and relationship to this. One of the ways to be successful in being able to move from just an obligatory relationship to that nedivah slave, to that love, is, as Rabbi Friend points out in his book, An Offer You Can't Refuse, we have to make the Almighty 23 a reality in our lives, rather than abstraction. How we have to build a relationship. How do we accomplish this? How do we gain the closeness? The Chofetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish, and other Gedolim suggest the best starting point is simply to start talking to the Almighty in the course of our daily lives. We all believe with complete faith that we're always in the presence of the Almighty. So why not take advantage to talk to Him? Not only when you're praying, but all through the day. If you're seeing a client and need to close a deal, talk to him. Say, Hashem, please help me. This is the right thing for me. Make it happen without too much heartache and difficulty. If you're stuck in a traffic jam and have to catch a plane, say, please help me catch the plane. I cannot miss this meeting. If you're baking a cake and you're worried about the results, say, please, Hashem, don't let this flop. I need a freyantif. And when everything goes, happens, always remember to say thank you to the giver of good. Those who learned of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim remember Rav Chaim Shulevitz Zatzal pacing up and down the base of Medrash, murmuring, Bona Shalom, help me out. I don't stand this toast, folks. He would continue pacing his brow, knit in intense concentration, then 10 minutes later would be heard murmuring, thank you, thank you. We can accomplish this if we get used to talking to a mighty in the course of our daily lives. Then our Shemot Esrei will also be different. We'll not be talking to a stranger, but to our loving Father, who is an integral part of our lives. Our performance of the mitzvot will also be different. When it comes to saying Kiddush, you'll feel the intimacy and the special sanctity of the Almighty own day. When you take the Luv and Esra in your hands, you'll feel the glow of the presence of the Almighty, and you'll rejoice that you're pleasing your Heavenly Father, who loves you, and is with every moment of you during the day. Do you know how it feels to give your loved ones presents and stand there while they unwrap them? It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? If you make the Almighty your companion, your loved one, that feeling will multiply manyfold when you do a mitzvah. And every mitzvah you do will deepen the relationship and bring you even closer to the Almighty. If you can do this, you'll become hungry for mitzvahs. You'll become insatiable. You will seek them everywhere. And believe me, you'll find them because they are everywhere. On this first level, my friends, Hashem is telling us, I gave you a mini Beit HaMikdash. I gave you a mini world found in the Beit HaMikdash. That mini world, that mini Beit HaMikdash is found within you. And just like the Beit HaMikdash point was in order to have as a foundation, as the korbanos, a means of connection to Hashem, we have in our lives the mitzvot that also are there to connect us to Hashem. And that's why, l'fichach hir b'olam Torah mitzvot, Hashem gave us a lot of Torah mitzvot. Why? Because He gave us many opportunities to connect with Him. Every bracha, every mitzvah is a point of connection. And our first pasuk gives us a framework of how to deal with this connection. We have to do the mitzvot, v'kuli truma, give it li lishmi, do it for God. Have that Yirat Shamayim. Feel mitzvah vosa. Feel like you're pressured to do it and you want to do it the best way possible. But don't forget the Nativa slave. Don't forget the relationship. Don't forget the passion. Don't forget that the relationship is so beautiful and you want to please the Kodesh Baruch Hu so much, that will change the dynamics of what you have to do to what you want to do, because you want to have this, be able to bring this closeness of Hashem down into each and every one of our lives. That's aspect number one. That's elevating each and every experience that we have. And that's our challenge. Invest in what we do. Think about what we do. Rav Belovsky in Ner Uziel gives us a second understanding, a different way of looking at the three separate donations. And he says, the first group of contribution was used to manufacture the adonim, the silver bases for the beams of the Mishkan. These bases joined the beams together, literally sustaining the overall structure of its foundation. The second group of contribution was used for the purchase of the sacrificial animals. And the third group was in order to provide the raw materials for the manufacture of the Mishkan vessels. The commentators parallel these three groups to the patriarchs, explaining the first group corresponds to Abraham. They associate the word Adonim basis with the word Adon master. Just as the Adonim were the foundations of the Mishkan, Abraham became the founding father of Judaism when he realized that Hashem is the Adon Olam, the master of this world. The second group of contribution corresponds to Yitzchak, who became a willing sacrifice offering, allowing his father to place him on the altar. And we know with every sacrifice, a person should see themselves, and they should envision as if they themselves are the sacrificial offering. And the third group of contribution corresponds to Yaakov, who foresaw the need to establish a central place of worship in which a divine presence would dwell, as it says, Ein Zekim Beit Elokim V'zeh Shar Shemayim. Now, we all know that each one of the Avos instituted a different one of the Tfilos. Avraham Avinu is Shachris, Yitzhak Avinu is Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu is Maariv. How do we understand these three in light of these three prayers? So he says, the first two prayers of Shachris and Mincha are obligatory prayers. everyone has to say Shacharis HaMincha, and that corresponds to the first two offerings where everyone had to give for the Adonim, for the sackets, and everyone had to give for the communal sacrifices. Those correspond to Avraham and Yitzchak, which correspond to the prayers that are obligatory to say. Yaakov Avinu represents the third prayer. Yaakov represents 28, the exiled Jew, and we know Mariv for a long time was not obligatory, was optional, right? Over time, it became obligatory for men. Originally, it was optional. What's the difference? Yaakov represents the exiled Jew who lives in a state of spiritual darkness and cannot discern God's existence. A small difference between the text of the morning and evening prayer service allude to this veiled perception of reality in exile. The passage recited in the morning prayer service begins, Emes v'yotzi, true and certain. The passage in the evening prayer says, Emes v'emuna, true and faithful. The morning prayer service, said in the bright light of day, represents a state of spiritual clarity, which one can perceive God's existence as a self-evident truth. In this elevated state, one has no difficulty feeling true and certain about God's oneness. The evening prayer service, on the other hand, represents a state of exile, a spiritual darkness, a state in which God conceals himself. In such a state, we can relate to God only by invoking faith in his existence, striving to perceive the spiritual light amid the darkness. In this state, man is confronted with a difficult challenge, to rouse his slumbering soul by reaching deep within himself to extract a spark of life and build his existence around it. And that's why the first two is that clarity. Shacharis HaMincha, we see Hashem clearly, we give those donations because it is a reality of Hashem's existence. The evening prayer, however, when a person finds himself shrouded in darkness and God's voice is barely audible, then his choice is whether to strive to reach the light or simply give up and assimilate. That's why the prayer of Yaakov instituted the evening prayer was originally an optional service. The state of spiritual exile Yaakov represents brings man entirely into the realm of choice. We must accept or reject inner urges to believe in God despite the fact that it cannot prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that God exists. And that's the job of the Mishkan. You can look at the Mishkan of a place of blood and guts, or you could see it as a place where the corporeality was transformed into spiritual energy. This is the light of Yaakov Avinu, the ability of the Nedivah slave, of taking the generosity of your heart, being able to push beyond all the doubts, all the challenges, all the darkness, and be able to see that Hashem indeed exists and create that relationship, that giving relationship with Hashem. These are the three groups, the Adonim, the Foundation, the Emunah, Avraham Avinu, obligatory. Daytime, things are clear. Yitzchak Avinu, the personal sacrifice, obligatory. The third aspect of Yaakov Avinu represents those times in our lives where things aren't so clear. And then the challenge becomes to push ourselves beyond from our own volition, from our own realization that God is true, that there is that emunah, there is that faith, and that faithfulness that we have to hold on to no matter what. Let's try to understand this idea a little bit deeper and understand what it means to be able to take of ourselves and be able to give it over to Hashem. It's a beautiful essay I'd like to go highlight through most of it in Mesils Bavavam Rav Eisenberger, who first and foremost points out something that's in its own right very, very important, and that is, it's interesting that the two obligatory offerings are found within this section, which is really of korban nedava, of a truman nedava, of not having to give, right? We have, again, the machzit ha-shekel, and we have the korbanos later on. Why is all three found in the same section? And he says, and this is very crucial, he says, before you can give stucco, before you can give above and beyond, you first have to make sure that that which is obligatory on you, you've given. You've paid off your school tuition, you've paid off your kids' tutors, you've paid off your shul, whatever it is, everything that's obligatory, you've paid. Once you finish all of your obligatory obligations, then give charity to your heart's content. Now, he doesn't say this, but obviously, one can't go spending on their own pleasures before they have given what they're obligated to give. You know, the people who go on vacation and then have an outstanding bill with their kids' tuition or buy a new whatever it is. So clearly we're talking about one who wants to donate to God, who wants to be a big giver. First and foremost, you have to make sure that all your obligations that are obligatory are paid off. And then he speaks about, and this is what's so fascinating, what's the whole idea of truma about? What's the whole idea of giving a portion, of elevating a portion? Truma is from the word ram, elevated offering. What is that whole idea about? And he notes that a model in 34 is when the Maris HaMachpelah went over into Avraham Avinu's hands. And the pasuk tells us, Vayakam Sneh Ephron. And Rashi tells us, that it went from the hands of a simpleton to the hands of a king. And he, Mesil Svavavan, continues and notes that when you take a look at the transaction between Avram and Ephron, you find something very fascinating. Normally, when a transaction happens, a person offers a certain amount of money, and you say, well, that's way too much. How about if I offer you, and you give another counteroffer, and then the person gives a counteroffer, and then you give a counteroffer, and then you come up with some type of amount you agree on. Here, Ephron offers an extraordinarily large amount of money. Arba mot shekel kesef. It was absurd. And Avraham Avinu says, sure, no problem. And he hands it over to him. This is crazy. Why did Avraham Avinu say, this is nuts. For your check, Lokasa, I'll give you 300. All right, I'll give you 200. Let's compromise on 300. Whatever it is. Why don't they have a bargaining going on? And he knows, and this is the key, Avraham Avinu wanted Ephron to give over that Ma'ara completely. Had he bargained him down, there would have been a part of Ephron that would always say, ah, I can't believe I gave it for such a low price. Oh, I'm sorry I sold it. And he would feel, on some level, still emotionally connected to that property. By giving it over at that high a price, he is making sure that Ephron emotionally steps out of this transaction completely satisfied, and he has given over this property without a second thought. And he says, likewise, that has to be at 36 and 37. Our mindset, whenever we gave a nedava, whenever we gave a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, whether it was a half a shekel we had to give, or whether it's a gold and silver that we wanted to give. When we gave it, it had to be 37 in the asterisk, V'laro natan shalav lafrich v'lenatek atzvo l'chalutin min hamamon. Truma from the idea of Miromemet or Mufreshet. It is totally separated. It is totally elevated. It is no longer mine. When one gave the Truma, one had to feel like I am giving this completely with a full heart. I am giving myself in this. There's no part of me that feels like, oh, I wish I could keep it. There's no part of me that feels like I wish it could be part of me. We have to give it the entirety of our being. And that's why, even though that might be the entire part of a person, the Maharal's question, it's still called a truma. It's still called a portion, because your mindset has to be that I am dedicating this portion completely and entirely to Hashem. I have zero claims on this. And that's the prerequisite of Vasuli Mikdash. How do we make a base of Mikdash? We're able to give of entirety of our gold, silver, half a shekel, whatever it is, I'm giving it over to you, Hashem. That is where the challenge becomes. So when we have the obligatory ones, so there you could say, well, I had no choice, I had to give it. But when it comes to the voluntary ones, there's part of us that says, they really have to give so much, is it really mine? In both of them, your mindset has to be, when you give it, you're giving it with the fullness of your heart. Even the obligatory one has to be with the divas halev, with the giving of your heart, with the fullness of your heart. This is what I want to give you, Hashem. And I'm not taking any part of it for myself. It's all for you, and I'm able to step out of it. And that's how we're really able to have this ability to connect to Hashem even when it's so hard. Because as long as we are in the picture, then we always have doubts. We always have questions. When we're able to give of ourselves completely and step out of self and bring Hashem in totally, this is yours. The more we're able to bring Hashem in as a totality, as a being, the more real He becomes, and the more I can be able to put my faith and hope in Him. The more I hold on to self and my own doubts and my own qualms and my own fears, the harder it is to be able to give that over to Hashem, both on a technical level as well as on an emotional level. Rav Eisenberger continues and he says, this becomes the model of all of our avodas Hashem. That when I do a mitzvah, it has to be with that understanding of taking myself out of it and being able to give a truma, to elevate myself and to give to Hashem. And he gives us the three models of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chesed. Gemilus Chesedim in 41. When we give tzedakah, it can't be because I'm holding out for some type of accolades, of rewards. And he says, obviously, the tzedakah is good tzedakah, don't get me wrong. But that's not the highest level. To give tzedakah so that I can have my name on a building, it's not really where it's at. I want to give tzedakah where it has nothing to do with me. I've given it over to you, Hashem, and it's not about me, my name, my recognition, or anything else. And he gives an etzah, he gives advice, based on, in 43, the Domestic Eliezer, who quotes in the name of the Chasam Sofer, that in the pasuk that talks about giving, it says, Naton titein, dahainu hafrasha v'netina kodem v'netina la'ani. He says, what is a way to be able to give to an ani without feeling that angst? Ugh, I can't believe I just gave $5 to my hard-earned money I'm giving to this person. He says, Naton titein. When you have a certain amount of money, before any aniyim come knocking to your door, before any letters come into your mail, if you still get mail or email, whatever they solicit you, take whatever money you have and miser it. So whether you miser it at the end of a week, at the end of a month, whatever it is, and then have money, either a separate bank account or a separate envelope, and that money is Meiser money. At that moment, it's no longer your money. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It's Meiser money. And then, if you put in that, let's say in that envelope, and you put it into $5 or $10 bills, so then when an ani comes to your door and you take out of that envelope, you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I just gave him $5. You feel like, well, I'm a gabbai tzedakah. I'm in charge of charity, and this is my job, to give out money. Just like a gabbai tzedakah, someone in charge of giving out charity, who's part of the community, doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I just gave away $100. It's not his money. So too, we don't feel like, oh my gosh, I just gave away $100. It's not my money. This is money I set aside already. Truma. It's not about me. I've put it aside, and I don't feel that angst. I don't feel that connection. I'm able to give, like the Maris of Achpela, no strings attached. The entirety of my being is giving, and I don't have that feeling of, ugh, I can't believe I've given away my money. Same thing by Avoda, Source 44. Hamispalo tzarich sheyichaven belibo peirush hamilo shemotzei b'shfatah. When you daven, you have to, Shulchan Aruch tells us, to be able to have kavana on the words that you say. V'yachshov kilu shechina k'nedah. And you have to feel like you're talking in front of Hashem. V'yasir kol ha-machshavot ha-trudos oto. And you have to take away all the thoughts that are going to distract you. Ad she-tisha'er machshavato v'kavanato zacha b'tfilato. Until you're able to have purity of thoughts. Now, that's again the highest level. The amida should be, the amida and tfila should be, mitoch truma hafrasha. The hainu hitnakut, being able to completely separate yourself. And this is how we have to do it. It's not about I have to do it. It's about I'm doing it, the netinat lev, but I'm giving it, I have a chova, but I'm doing it in a way that I want to give my best to Hashem. As the answering the Klei Yoker's question, yes, I have to daven, I have to get stuck up, but let me do it in a way, I'm the diva slave, let me do it in a passionate way. And what's the most passionate way I can do it? To be able to give of myself completely to Hashem, and it's not about me. So when I daven, if I'm thinking about my day, I'm really not focused in on Hashem, I'm not focused in on my tefillah, I'm just mouthing the words, but I'm not there. So to really be able to do, I have to daven, but to have that nedivah slave, the desire to connect, and to truma, to move myself above and beyond, I have to disconnect from self. The advice he gives for this in 45 is to take ra'ui l'chol echad al kol panim likbo atzmo b'masmerot al chelek misuyam shel atfila. One way of doing this as a suggestion is to choose one part of davening. It could be a very small part, one paragraph, one line, start small. And this, chok v'lo yavor, it's not going to be about me. It's going to be focusing on the words. I speak about the line, let's say, in Ava Rabba, v'tein b'libeinu lahavin lahaskil lishma lomo lamet. Or whatever it is, hashiva shavteinu gver shana. Whatever phrase that I choose, and I focus in on that phrase alone. And during those few moments, those few seconds, it's not about me, it's not about my broken car, it's not about my appointment, it's just about those words. It's about connecting to Hashem in those words. It's not about me. It's my truma to Hashem to be able to bring the awareness of Hashem's presence and what those words mean into my life. And likewise, by Torah, when you walk in to learn and you're distracted by, you know, you bring your iPhone with you when you're learning and you're constantly checking your messages, so then what type of learning is it? You have to leave the phone outside the Beis Medrash, leave the phone outside the shiur when you start listening to a shiur, that you're 100% focused in for this hour, Kodesh Kadashim. I am focusing in on words of Torah. I'm leaving my personal life out. Phones are outside the room of learning. Here, I'm focused in on this hour of Kodesh Kedoshim, of spending time with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. My friends, what we see, we'll take this two steps further. On the first level, the idea of the Mishkan is a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanting to have a relationship with us, coming down to us. The Adonim, the sockets, are the very foundation of this relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It represents the Yisod of the Olam, the Evan Ashtia. It represents the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu envisioned this world. And over time, that vision has shifted to a place where we have this connection to Hashem. And over time, when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvos are Hashem's way of connecting with us. Our challenge is to feel mitzvah voset, that Hashem has demands on us, and I'm going to do it to the best way I can, with this yiro, with this consciousness of I'm going to fulfill it in the greatest detail. Having said that, I'm going to have a she'ena mitzvah voset in there as well. I'm going to put my nedivah slave, I'm going to put my love into what I'm doing, and it's not just going to be perfunctory, but it's going to come out of love. Talk to Hashem all day to feel this relationship, to feel this connection, and then I'll see that Hashem is giving me opportunities throughout the day to connect with Him, and I'm going to yearn and long to be able to feel this connection, both with the yira aspect, the awe and detail-oriented aspect, as well as the ava, the love, the nedivah slave aspect. On the second level, the three things that we gave, the adonim, the korbanos, and the voluntary offerings represent the three avos, Avram and Yitzchak, obligatory prayer. Yaakov Avinu is the personal prayer. It's the ability to step out of all my troubles and challenges and cross over that threshold and say, yes, I know you exist, Hashem. This is where it's at. And that's why the Ber Yosef notes in 49, Ba Chavakuk v'midam alachat, Chavakuk hanavi, was able to distill down all of Torah into one mitzvah, and that one mitzvah is emunah. The one mitzvah is the belief in Hashem, and that, he says, corresponds to the adonim, to the sockets. Why did every person have to give to the sockets specifically and not to the aron? Because the sockets represent the basis of what Yiddishkeit is about, what everything stands on, and that is, Sadiq Bebenato Yechyeh is emunah. And he knows that's why we give a half a shekel, because when it comes to emunah, we never see the whole picture. We always see half. We're always missing a lot of information. We have to be able to realize that we have to take that step forward, that leap of faith, to be able to embrace Hashem, even if I don't see the whole picture, and understand that Hashem is there waiting for this relationship. The Adonim, the foundation, Sadiq Bebenato Yechyeh. And when I come to make these donations to Hashem. I have to have this in mind. I have to step over that threshold, so to speak, that when I give to Hashem, I have to give, I also have to have this feeling of I want to give. And when I give, it's not just, here it is, God, I am lunatic. I am completely disconnecting myself, and I'm giving it to you. Li lishmi, I'm giving it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when I give stucca, it's not my money. I've separated the money. I don't feel that angst about giving. When I daven, there's a certain part of davening where it's my focus is completely on the words and connection to Hashem. And in learning, I'm able to separate whatever's going on around me. I take the phone, I disconnect it. I'm not available for this hour, for these 2 hours, whatever it is, and I focus in Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is my ability to be able to give this gift to Hashem with love, with desire, albeit it's obligatory, but I'm crossing over that line into giving of myself. And with this we can appreciate, as our two final ideas, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, Parshas Truma always begins in the month of Adar. So he notes in 47, Rav Eisenberger, Vasils Bavavam, sometimes it's very hard to have simcha. I'm missing this in my life, I'm missing that, and I'm disappointed about this, I'm disappointed about that. However, we also have to understand that we have a wealth of potential simcha within us. Ki yesh l'chol adam, the end of 47, Mi'Yisrael ma'agar malei shel simcha v'sipul kanefesh. Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh Pekudei Hashem Yisarim Yisamchei Leib. Torah and Mitzvos make us happy. I know, we normally think of Mishnah Adar Marbim V'Simcha, we think of the kids who are playing Purim Shtick and think L'Havdol's April Fool's Day and getting dressed up. And there is an aspect of outer Simcha if it's going to lead you to inner Simcha 100%. We're talking about real Simcha. Simcha being as the Maral's definition of Shleimus. And how do I feel the Shleimus? He says it's only when I'm able to be b'sholem, with wholeness, in whatever I'm doing. And he says clearly, the Yetzirah has our ability to have mirov pizor ha-nefesh, ein ha-moach omeda mechono lidrakez mizman ha-ra'ui al devar ha-ra'ui. The biggest challenge we have, and in today's day and age, all of us to some degree are ADHD, we are distracted. Anything that happens around us, we look up. I've never seen this. In the last few years, I've noticed, and it's getting worse. I'll be giving a talk, doesn't matter where, and somebody will walk in the back or make some noise, and automatically all heads turn. It just boggles your mind that people don't have this focus. And because I'm always turning to see what's going on, how can I be in any one place, b'shlemus, in any one place with wholeness? And then is it any wonder that I'm not b'simcha? Because I can't be b'simcha. I can't be with joy because I'm so fragmented. I'm not focused in on anything. Mishenichlas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, Adar is about the ability to be able to be dar, to literally to reside. And that is the ability to live in the moment, mindfulness, to live in this mitzvah, to be present, Aleph Dar, to feel Hashem is present, the Alufo Shel Olam in this experience. And when I'm able to be, to try, in Adar particularly, to focus in on this mitzvah, that this is the mitzvah I have coming in my hands, and this is the mitzvah, I'm going to separate myself from my outer world, and just put myself in this mitzvah, I will see that I will be filled with the joy of doing that mitzvah. I'll be filled with the joy of connection, and that's going to lead me to a level of feeling in a deeper level, this marbim b'simcha, this greater joy. Adar is about tapping into that which we already have, a wellspring of joy in keeping mitzvahs, but I'm not tapped into it, I'm not focused in it. If I start with my tefillah, my avoda, my Torah, and being able to focus and to be able to be zoomed into what I'm doing, I will see as a byproduct of this a tremendous simcha. And we'll end in 51, the Yakut Lekach Tov quotes the Bir Yosef, the quotes the Balaturim, who says that in Parsha Pekudei, we note that there were 100 Adonim. And as a result of that, Chazal instituted to say 100 brachos every day. The 100 brachos every day are indeed our foundation of this world. The 100 brachos are 100 ways that we meet Hashem. It's like 100 glimpses into our mini Mishkan in our world. Hashem gives us 100 opportunities a day to connect with Him. 100 opportunities to say that Hashem is Melech HaOlam, that He is the King of the world, to bring and to really inculcate that emuna into me. 100 opportunities to feel, let me step out of self and just appreciate Hashem is Borei Pri Ha'etz, Hashem is Shakom Nieved Varo. 100 opportunities to focus in on the godless of Hashem. When we, albeit we don't have the Mishkan, but when we understand that we are the mini Mishkan and our foundation is emuna, and the way we build and strengthen that foundation every day is through the 100 brachos, which are the 100 sockets that we have of our emunah, we're going to look at brachos completely different. And we can use the brachos as a medium of mishenichnas adar marbin besimcha, to take that cup of water, to take that apple, and to be able to say, this is a way of experiencing closeness to Hashem. Is there any greater joy than this, knowing that Hashem cares about me to give me and to sustain me and fulfill my needs? This leads a person to tremendous joy. And in this way, a person is mitzuvah osa. We have to say brachot, but we are able to bring in the she'eno mitzuvah osa. We're able to bring in the nedava aspect, the love aspect, which has to be part and parcel of our experience. And then at that point, we're able to elevate every experience that we have, and we will find out that we will become much more attuned to the fact that we are mini Beis HaMikdash, that we have the opportunities to connect to Hashem, and that the whole other experience and the whole experience of feeling the simcha of being a Jew of Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu becomes that much more stronger and that much more pronounced in this month and in this parsha.